Day devotional. I am thankful that we've gotten to do this. I know it's been a little while since we've had our last weekday Devo, and things have been a little hectic lately, but I'm glad that we can now continue our study. So we'll be in Exodus 20 this afternoon, and so if you have your Bible, let me just invite you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, and we will look this afternoon at the ninth commandment. The ninth commandment out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Friends, let's read God's word together. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 down to verse 21. Friends, the word of God says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." People stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. My friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this afternoon to study your word. We ask your blessing now as we study. Father, we can understand nothing apart from you. But Father, you have promised that if we humble ourselves before you, if we plead for mercy, if we seek your face, O Lord, that you will be found by us. Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom and insight from your word. We pray, Father, that you would conform our character, Lord, that we may be a people who speak the truth, even as you always speak the truth. We pray that you would restrain us from lying and deceit, from all falsehood, and that, O Lord, by your mercy, you would bear us up to honor Christ with our words and deeds. O dear Spirit, come and equip and teach. Lead us, O God, that we might love and honor you. For we ask everything, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, friends, look at our text. Our text is Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, the ninth commandment. The word of God says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Now, friends, again, we have looked at the Ten Commandments. We are reminded that there are two tables to the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments deal with man's duty to God and the relationship that man has with God, that vertical relationship. Now we look at the second table of the law, which is the horizontal, man's relationship to man. And remember, Jesus told us that the greatest commandment is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind, and strength, and that you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This loving your neighbor as yourself, friend, is the second commandment. It is a dependent, derived commandment. That is, if we are loving our Lord and God, if we are indeed trusting him and honoring him in our lives, that will evidence itself, that will work itself out in a genuine love, holy concern, and care for our neighbor. You recall, friends, that in the New Testament, we encounter the scribes and Pharisees. And these scrupulous Bible students had crafted all kinds of interpretations about the Word of God. And one in particular, you recall that the lawyer came to Jesus, and when Jesus told him the command that you shall love your neighbor as yourself, he responded, seeking to justify himself, well, who then is my neighbor? And you recall that Jesus then gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you recall that after that parable, Jesus looked at the lawyer and he said, which of these proved to be a neighbor? One who kept the command of God to love his neighbor to the man who fell among thieves. And the lawyer replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, you said right. Now go and do likewise. And so, friends, what Jesus did in this parable is he gave us the understanding that when God is speaking of neighbor, when God is commanding that we shall not bear false witness against our neighbor, that means any person who is near to us, any person with whom we are brought near by the providence of God. So every other person in our lives. And so we see in verse 16 that this is a prohibition against lying words. And specifically, the context seems to be that of the courtroom. Of lying in a court proceeding. One is called to be a witness on the stand. One is called to testify to what he has seen and heard. And instead of speaking the truth, he speaks falsehood and deceit in an attempt to bring a injustice and to disrupt the proceedings and the pursuit of righteousness. And so, friends, we have this strong prohibition, you. Remember, this is a universal you because it is not only the nation of Israel, but this is the exposition of the covenant of creation, God's covenant with man in Adam. So you can put your own name here. You, Clay, you, Steve, you, Mary, shall not bear false witness. So there is a command of prohibition. God is prohibiting certain activity. It's like the boundary lines on the interstate. You can drive on the road, but you are not to cross that yellow line. There's a boundary marker there. And so this commandment sets the boundary. God says that you shall not transgress this command. You may use your tongue, you may speak your words, but they must be true and good and holy. They must be words that are in accord with the truth. And so, friends, again, this command of God is a reflection of God's own holy character. When we come to the Bible, friends, we realize that God, in his holiness, cannot lie. God cannot lie. He cannot speak falsely. God is a God who always speaks the truth. There is no deceit in God. God speaks out of his own holy character. And so, friends, if God is holy, if God cannot lie because he will not speak anything but the truth, then we know that we as his image bearers are made also to speak the truth to him and one to another. And so, friends, when we don't speak the truth, when we lie, God gives the judgment that that is sin. And that brings disruption and destruction and disarray and all manner of corruption into our relationships. And so we see that God is a God of truth. He commands us to speak the truth, that when we lie, we are breaking the command of God, and by this sin, we bring the wrath and judgment of God. But notice that these false words, this false witness, as Jesus says, goes deeper than the skin. You know, friends, it's not enough that we say, I will cease to speak lies, and I will speak the truth. Friends, what God is looking at is not only the outward action, but the inward motivation. Remember that God, when he was talking to Saul, and when he's talking to through Samuel, he said to Samuel, to Saul, That God is not, you know, God speaking to Samuel said, Samuel comes and he's looking at the sons of Jesse, and Samuel looks at Eliab, Jesse's firstborn, and he's a tall, handsome man, just like Saul. And Samuel says, wow, the Lord's anointed must stand before him. And remember, God comes and speaks to Samuel, and he says, Samuel, don't look any longer at his outward appearance or physical stature. For God does not see as man sees, for man looks only at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Remember, when the Bible speaks of heart, it's speaking not of that cardiovascular organ, but the heart as a picture and a image of the interior man. That just as the heart is encased in bone and flesh and represents the very deepest part of our physical body, so too when the Bible speaks of heart, it speaks of the interior man, the mind, the will and affections, all of the interior motivations and desires that produce our words and works and our way of life. So Jesus says that it is what comes out of a man's heart that is corrupt, that it is out of the sin nature within us, out of this rebellious heart that come all manner of iniquity. So friends, the lying words that come out of our mouths are the evidence of a corrupt and defiled heart. That is, we have a nature that is inclined to sin. And therefore, when we are faced with an opportunity or there's a desire within us to speak a lie rather than the truth, according to that wicked intention and evil desire, we bear false witness against our neighbor, which means, friends, we need a heart transplant. That the problem of sin is not exterior, but it is interior, and that we need to be born again, that we need a circumcision of the heart. We need God in his sovereign mercy to come and take away this heart of stone and give to us a heart of flesh, a humble heart, a loving heart that will love him and love our neighbor and love Christ, and in loving Christ seek to honor Christ with how we speak the truth one to another. So friends, it is out of the power of the new birth that the Spirit empowers believers now not only to speak the truth and to put away falsehood, but to desire and love to do that. Because there is a heart now within every Christian that wants to love Christ and love our neighbor with our words. Because friends, when we lie, we are destroying our neighbor and we are dishonoring God. And so friends, we look at our own lives. Is there sin in my life? Am I lying or deceiving others with my words? If so, we need to repent. And we need the Spirit of God by the Word to reveal those patterns of deceit. Is there an inward motivation that needs to be renewed and transformed? May we pray and ask the Father to give us new hearts to love Christ with our words. Because friends, even as we're called not to lie, the positive is we are called to speak the truth. Christians love the truth. We are a people who love the truth. Friends, you know, in our own nation, we have the privilege of the freedom of speech. Again, remember, it's not the Constitution or the government that confers this freedom of speech and freedom of religion, but these institutions, the government and the Constitution, merely recognize and are affirming and are upholding those innate and inalienable rights that God has given to human beings, that God created us to worship him and to speak the truth of who he is and of the world he has made, and the freedom to proclaim the good news of his salvation to sinners in Jesus Christ. And friends, one reason the Christian fights for this freedom of speech and freedom of assembly is because he knows that the truth will prevail, that the Word of God is living and active, that the Word of the cross is able to save, and that when it's stacked up against all the false philosophies and false messages of this world, it alone stands as true and powerful because it alone is the Word of God. And so Christians confident in the Word of God, confident in the truth of God, speak the truth, and we fight for the freedoms of others to speak because we know that God will uphold and will preserve and will honor His Word. So friends, let us be a people that speak the truth. Let us seek to put to death all deceit. Let us pray that God, by His sovereign grace, would give us new hearts to love and honor Him with our words and deeds, so that Christ might be glorified in His church. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for this good command. We pray that You would give us hearts that love the truth and hate falsehood. We pray that by Your mercy, You would reveal to us patterns of deceit that we might put to death and new ways of walking in the truth that we may put on. Lord, we pray that You would grant us mercy to honor You in our individual and corporate lives, that, Lord Jesus, Your church might be the pillar and buttress of the truth, Lord, a place where the gospel of Your grace is proclaimed in its fullness. And we pray, Father, that You would glorify Your name as the word of truth goes forth through the mouths of Your people, that You would save sinners, that You would bring Your people and gather them into Yourself, that, Father, You might receive all the praise. Thank You, dear Spirit, for continuing to abide with us and teach and conform us into the likeness of Christ. So, Father, we ask everything in His name. Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends,